Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, March 29th, 2024 episode of the Advocate Podcast from KASB. As always, I'm Leah Fleiter, joined by my advocacy partner, Shannon Kimball, and our fabulous producer, Alec Madrigal. And we have a lot to talk about this week, as we always do. And so we're just going to talk about, actually, it was a great week for public schools in the state legislature. A couple of bad dark money sponsored bills ran into a bipartisan buzzsaw, and some other good things happened as well. So let's get started. Our primary focus this week was House Sub for Senate Bill 387. That is the funding and policy bundle that used dark money voodoo math to claim to fully fund special education. And the bill also would have hurt our efforts to educate our most vulnerable at-risk students. KASB and other public school allies worked hard to share the truth about SPED funding shortfalls and how the bill would harm Kansas schools and students. Well, that hard work from our board members, our superintendents, our PTA members, our parent advocates, that all paid off this week, as House Sub for Senate Bill 387 just barely passed the Kansas House of Representatives. The vote count was 65 yes and 58 no's. That's only two votes more than the bare minimum that was required to pass the bill. So it almost died. And in a really heartening show of bipartisan support for Kansas public schools, 20 House Republicans bucked their leadership and voted against this harmful bill. Shannon, everybody knows this is your first session on the KASB advocacy team, although you have been involved in our advocacy efforts for many years as a school board member. What were your impressions of our conversations with legislators and advocates this week, and also of the House vote on House Sub for Senate Bill 387 that we saw occur this week?
Thanks, Leah. You know, I was really encouraged by how clear it was from those conversations that board members, superintendents, and parents across the state have been sharing with their House members just how devastating House Sub for SB 387 would be for the future of our public schools. As our listeners know, the $423 million statewide shortfall in SPED funding is impacting every single student in every public school in Kansas. And although this bill includes some additional money for special education for next year, the bill uses accounting gimmicks that, after next year, would ensure that the legislature could falsely claim that it is fully funding special education in the future. That would mean that there would be no additional special education funding provided after next year. We know that the real shortfalls are far greater than was previously believed, so it was really encouraging to see that a significant number of House members are recognizing that concern and are pushing back on these accounting gimmicks and bad policy that was in this bill.
You know, Shannon, I was really proud of our advocates and touched by their dedication to really making sure that they were communicating with their lawmakers on this bill. You know, we had had people in the State House the week before at our day at the Capitol, and they were really doing a good job of setting up meetings with their legislators. And then I was also, and I know Shannon was too, we were struck by how many lawmakers would approach us independently in the hallways and in the rotunda and say, you know, I'm trying to understand this. It's complicated. And I'm trying to understand it. And my constituents are really trying to help me. And I appreciate what everybody's trying to do. And so this has been a real flashpoint issue for a couple of years now. And I think, wouldn't you agree, Shannon, it was heartening to see some hard work happening on both sides of the aisle and across the state as far as advocacy on special ed funding and on this bill in general.
I absolutely agree. And I think it was especially heartening to see just how much a number of our legislators were really listening to all of the people who reach out to them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think our listeners may be a little confused, Alec and Shannon, because, you know, we're really happy with the House vote on this bed bill, even though it passed, right? I mean, you know, typically we're happy if a bill fails. You know, if we oppose a bill and it fails, then we're happy. Otherwise, we're not. But the reason we're so pleased with the vote on House sub for Senate Bill 387 is that the bipartisan opposition to the bill was so strong. And the reason why that's important is that it sends the Senate a very clear message that they have a very strong negotiating stance going into conference committee next week and going and leading up to final budget deliberations at the end of April. The House sent a clear message through its floor vote this week that its official position, you know, that their adopted position on special education funding is really a non-starter. You know, it's basically saying we don't support our own bill. Meanwhile, based on a hearing that she held in late February, Senate Education Committee Chair Molly Baumgartner, who will be leading the negotiating team for the Senate, she seems to be very interested in hammering out a significant increase in special education funding. So Senator Baumgartner will lead the Senate negotiating team and conference, while House K-12 Education Budget Committee Chair Christy Williams will be tasked with leading the House negotiating team that will be working from a position that's not well supported by that chamber. So it's going to be an interesting discussion this week in conference. And so I think our best advice to folks would be to follow Shannon and I on Twitter and then to watch for our Facebook Live updates throughout the week as those negotiations take place. This is going to be Shannon's first experience with conference committee work, and it's a very interesting, sometimes stressful time of the year for everyone, not only for the lobbyists who are trying to follow it, but of course, most especially stressful for the lawmakers who are in and out of committee meetings, in and out of negotiations, and then they have to break for floor work, and we go very late into the evening, sometimes start up again very early in the morning. And so just bear with us, pay attention to our social media posts, and also to our grassroots network members. Make sure you're keeping an eye on the notifications that you receive from us there for any action that you might need to take to help influence what's going on in conference committee and final action on some budget items. Some other good news that we had this week. This was like, whew, it was a short week. They finished up on Wednesday, but I think Shannon and I both felt it felt like a full 7-day work week. No, you know, just because of the sheer amount of things that happened. We had really good news in the Senate on Tuesday. We saw a strong bipartisan defeat of Senate Bill 427. That's the dark money bill we've recently shared about with our listeners, that would have allowed a single school board member to hijack school board business and create chaos during public comment at school board meetings, while also creating security and privacy risks for district buildings and put districts at risk for cyber attacks. Shannon, you want to share some more about this bill?
Yes. So, you know, Leah, in last fall's elections, Kansas voters really signaled that they are growing tired of divisive and chaotic politics in their school board's work. And parents and communities voted against candidates in that election that had narrow and often extreme single issue agendas for their districts. You know, the thing that really was concerning about Senate Bill 427 is that it would have prioritized those narrow agendas of really what are a few disgruntled board members across the state over the work of the majority, the vast majority of school board members and superintendents in Kansas who are focused on doing what's good for kids. Mm-hmm. And that bill would have done that by singling out school boards and imposing requirements on them that no other elected body in the mm-hmm. state of Kansas would be required to follow, including the legislature. So thankfully, a large number of senators recognized this bill for what it was, an end run around current open meetings requirements and around the democratic processes and safeguards that are already in place in our school districts.
Yeah, it was gratifying to watch that vote. I mean, the Senate rejected that bill by a strong bipartisan vote. And, you know, I think that's because there are several members of the Senate who are former municipal officials, you know, city commissioners, county commissioners, those types of things. There's, you know, we have at least one former school superintendent in the Senate, and they really listened again when their constituents reached out and said, hey, you know, this is just not good for local government. And they picked up on that really quickly and voted accordingly. So kudos to those senators and kudos to all the constituents who reached out on that bill. Well, switching gears a little bit, on Wednesday, we watched the House debate its latest version of a tax cut plan. We've been monitoring the tax proposals closely this year, especially the many versions of provisions making changes to the statewide 20 mil levy for schools and the amount of the property value exemption from the 20 mil levy, as well as those proposals that would have directly impacted the funding that was available for the Bay State Aid in Kansas. The bill that the House debated on Wednesday is called House Sub for Senate Bill 300. It does lower the statewide mill levy for schools from 20 mills to 18, and it increases the property tax exemption from that statewide mill levy to $100,000. However, the bill also includes a mandatory, what's called a demand transfer, that will ensure that this legislature and future legislatures backfills that foregone revenue from the state general fund. That was our big concern about these tax proposals is, you know, none of us like to pay any more property tax than we wish, and we would all like to see some property tax relief, but you know, it cannot come at the expense of support for our public schools. And so it was very heartening to see the bipartisan support that this bill garnered in the House. And in fact, Shannon, how bipartisan was the support of the House tax bill?
Well, you know, on divisive issues, which tax policy this year has been, it's pretty rare to see a vote that like the one we saw on Wednesday. It was unanimously approved. 123 members of the House of Representatives, every single one of them that was present that day, voted in favor of this tax cut plan. And rightly so, when they were done, stood up and gave themselves a round of applause, mm-hmm. because that really is remarkable. You had every Republican and every Democrat in the Kansas House agree on a tax cut plan that gives almost, I think it was close to $500 million mm-hmm. of tax relief per year for the next 3 years across a broad array of areas of tax policy. So that was really encouraging. And you know, everybody felt really good in the moment that happened. And then it was really disheartening that only a few minutes later, mm-hmm. the Senate president essentially killed the House bill. Instead of choosing to bring it up for consideration on the Senate floor, he, in a procedural maneuver, essentially killed the proposal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that leaves a lot of questions about now what, I think. And mm-hmm. We'll be seeing a lot of that conversation, I imagine, happening this upcoming week during the conference committee meetings.
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch the process this week in the House, because when the bill was initially debated some in the House Tax Committee, there were a few amendments that were kind of floated, and the chair and others had said, you know, let's kind of hold off, and they wanted to wait and talk a little bit. And there were some amendments that had been proposed in committee and initially rejected that were then accepted on the House floor, like eliminating the tax on Social Security benefits, and, you know, a couple of other of really, I think, helpful things that most Kansans would really support. And so just to see the House tax chair on the floor saying, yes, I support this amendment, you know, and again, people on both sides of the aisle, most of the time, this group probably couldn't even agree on, you know, what to order for lunch, much less, you know, and then to have the board light up completely green to support that bill was really encouraging for those of us who spend every day there. So I want to touch briefly on another bill we were following this week, and that was Senate Bill 386. That was a bill that stated that districts could use either their current year enrollment or their previous enrollment to calculate state aid. KASB's legislative policy that was approved by our members in November stated that we supported districts being able to use either their current year enrollment or the greater of the previous 2 years. That's state law. State law says districts can use the greater of the previous 2 years enrollment. We have many districts with growing enrollment, and they would like to be able to use their current enrollment. But our declining enrollment districts would also like to be able to use somewhat of a look back in order to allow them to plan for the future. And so as we had several weeks of conversations with lawmakers and with others in the building, it became clear that an amendment was probably going to need to be added to this bill to keep it viable. And an amendment that was brought by Senator Elaine Bowers from Concordia and that was ultimately successful, the amendment allows growing enrollment districts to use their current year enrollment. It allows declining enrollment districts to use an average of the previous 2 years, but just for the next year. Beginning in the 25-26 school year, the law would state that districts would use either current year or previous year only. Shannon, can you fill us in a little bit on why this compromise was so important, both for both sets of districts, growing enrollment and declining enrollment?
Sure. So for our growing enrollment districts, their concerns have been that they get new students every year and sometimes hundreds of new students, mm-hmm. and they're not getting funding to serve those students. And when your district is growing rapidly, especially, you need those additional funds to be able to add teachers, mm-hmm. and make sure that you have enough staff to provide all the services that your students need. But for our declining enrollment districts, it's kind of the same issue, but the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. They have staff that they have serving students. And if you suddenly cut the funding that your district is using to serve students, because you have fewer students, you get less money, you know, that causes districts to have to make rapid shifts in either staffing and or programs. And that really isn't in the best interest of students, nor is it in the best interest of our small communities, mm-hmm. where these declining enrollment schools often are. So the compromise allows an additional year for districts to plan and adjust to the new funding model. And I think that is a responsible way to make a transition to this kind of policy. You know, there were some concerns expressed during the debate that this bill, you know, means that the legislature will be double funding students. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to continue to make sure that our lawmakers understand that this is about funding a school that provides all the things for a student. And you can't just pull out a chunk of resources from that and expect that a district can suddenly adapt and still continue to serve all the students effectively who remain in the district. So while it's not the full 2 year look back that we were hoping to maintain for our declining enrollment districts, I think this is a reasonable compromise to support districts that are in both positions.
Thanks, Shannon. Yeah, it was, again, that amended bill passed on a nice, strong bipartisan tally. And so that now will likely figure into the conference committee negotiations that will happen over the next several days. So good work by the senators who voted for it. We appreciate that. And good work by all the advocates who helped broker that compromise. It was a lot of hard work by a lot of people. Okay, so we're wrapping up. We're headed into the weekend. It's a holiday weekend, so I don't know how many legislative coffees will actually be happening, but if you go to a legislative coffee or if you see your lawmaker in the grocery store or, you know, out in the community, be sure to thank them if they voted no on Senate Bill 387, that's the sped bill, and 427, which was the interfere with school boards bill. and also thank them if they voted yes on Senate Bill 386, the enrollment bill. That, you know, those were people who were listening to their constituents and trying to do what's best for Kansas. So keep talking about SPED. Those critical negotiations will happen this week. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Thanks for all of your hard work for Kansas Public Schools, and we will talk to you again soon.